This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك والعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا وقرة أعيننا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. Have a wardrobe malfunction here. Alhamdulillah. Not like the famous ones. So excuse me. اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد. طيب. Apologize for that. Alhamdulillah wassalatu wassalam ala rasulillah wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This is Imam Zaid Shakir here on behalf of Zaytuna College, the nation's first fully accredited Muslim liberal arts college. It's a great honor to be affiliated with the college and all of its wonderful, its founders, faculty, students, and staff, both past and present. And may Allah give them all tawfiq and taysir. May Allah bless all of you during this month of Ramadan. We're here to examine a very well-known text that looks at the responsibilities, not just of Ramadan, but the various months of the Islamic Muslim lunar calendar, and then a few other things, such as the virtue of the Ibn Rajab, the author, examines three seasons of the year, and then the virtue of Sham, and the virtue of remembering Allah. But the main focus of the book and title, لطائف المعارف فيما لمواسم العام من الوظائف, the subtleties of knowledge concerning what each season of the year contains of religious duties and responsibilities. So this book is a very rich text. Literarily, it's very rich. Legally, it's very rich. In terms of the ethics and moral foundation of the religion, is very rich in terms of acts of worship, describing their virtue, describing their subtleties, providing insight into those acts of worship is very rich. I've gone through the text before, literally cover to cover, but wanted to do something new this particular time. So we're going to just examine the poetry in the chapter of Ramadan. And to just illustrate, number one, how the role that poetry has, inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. A message just flashed on my screen that Chaplain Suhaib Sultan of Princeton University, very beloved friend of ours, has just passed away. He was battling cancer for a long time. So recite the Fatiha, Fatiha ala al-akh al-fadil. Sayyid Chaplain Suhaib Sultan, Princeton University, one of the pioneering chaplains in this country, very fine young man, very young, probably around 40, between 40, 45 years old, Allah, or less. Al-Fatiha. الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. So may Allah bless him, may Allah grant his family patience and give them tawfiq and taysir. Any case, to continue, Allahumma salli rasulillah. So poetry has played a great role in our Islamic intellectual and literary tradition. Of course, the literary tradition that goes without saying Islam probably having the richest literary tradition, Arabic for sure, in human history. But the religious studies have also relied heavily on poetry, didactic poems. If you look at a book of Sirah, for example, the Sirah of Ibn Hisham, you see that it's replete with verses of poetry. So we wanted in this book by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali, who's a Hanbali scholar. So generally, Hanbalis are reckoned as being the most conservative of the various madahib, generally speaking. And so to see a scholar like Ibn Rajab filling his book with poetry gives one an insight into how the role that poetry has played in our tradition. So we're going to start tonight. All of the verses that we will examine tonight, they're part of commentary on the hadith that serves as the seminal point of his examination of Ramadan. And so, excuse me. So in any case, the hadith is a hadith related by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. And as I said, all of the verses that we will look at tonight a part of the commentary on this hadith. So, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كل عمن ابن آدم له الحسنات بعشر أمثالها إلى سبع معدف وقال الله عز وجل قال الله عز وجل إلا الصيام فإنه لي وأنا أجزي به إنه ترك شهوته وطعامه وشرابه من أجلي للصائم فرحتان فرحة عند فطره وفرحة عند لقاء ربه ولا خلوف فهم الصائم أطيب عند الله من ريح المسك رواه البخاري ومسلم حديث متفق عليه. So it's related by Abi Huraira that the Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings of Allah upon him, said, every action undertaken by the child of Adam is for him or her, and good deeds are multiplied 10 times over, up to 700 times over, many times over and beyond. That's another narration, Al-Ata'at in Kathira, not this one. 10 times over, up to 700 times over. And Allah says, except fasting that is mine, I will reward him with it. Verily, he has left off his carnal, pursuing his carnal lust, his food, his drink for my sake. The fasting person will have two delights, the delight when he breaks his fast and the delight when he meets his Lord. And the foul odor sometimes emanating from the mouth of the fasting person is sweeter to with Allah than the fragrance of musk, related by Imam al-Bukhari and Muslim. So this hadith is very rich, and we could comment on it, but that's not the mission. We'll comment on it, inshallah, in the context of the poetry that's marshaled by Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali and his commentary. So we'll begin, inshallah, ta'ala. Musta'inan billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, relying on Allah. He says, rahimahullah, Allahumma salli. So the first line, and is related to the hardship that a fasting person might encounter in the context of giving up their carnal appetite. And amongst the carnal appetites, the appetite for intimate relations with one's lawful spouse, the appetite for sleep. And then he mentions food and drink. And so this one is related to sleep. So a poet is related to have said, إن كان رضاكم في سهري فسلام الله على وسني. So if your pleasure lies in me staying awake, then I bid then farewell for the sake of Allah to my sleep. So just this is an expression of the joy that a believer has in giving up his or her, pursuing his or her carnal appetites for sleep, for relations with their spouses, for food, for drink, whatever the case might be, for the pleasure of Allah. And so the believer is pleased with what pleases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gives precedent to that over what pleases himself or herself. And so this is what the verse, this particular verse is expressing. So if your pleasure lies in me staying awake, and كان رضاكم في سهري, then I bid farewell to my sleep. فسلام الله على وسني على سنة على وسني. So that's the first verse that he brings in this chapter. A second one is related to that, is where he says, another poet says, رحمه الله, فما لجرح إذا أرضاكم ألم أو ألم فما لجرح إذا أرضاكم ألم. So what is an injury if you're pleased with pain? In other words, any pain I suffer, any injury I suffer, any hardship I suffer over the course of the fast, it means nothing if it's pleasing to you. In other words, I'm really willing to sacrifice some discomfort for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of my Lord, if the pleasure of my Lord is involved with that. Of course, this isn't great pain. Most of us, we might have headaches at the beginning of Ramadan, but not excruciating pain. So no one should think that Ibn Rajab is suggesting that we have to torture ourselves. But he is suggesting and expressing, probably a better word, that the believer will endure discomfort for the sake of his or her Lord and for the pleasure, seeking the pleasure of their Lord. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And this is so we as a believer, our lives are dedicated to the service and pleasure of our Lord. Allah Ta'ala reminds us in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. I've only created the jinn and the human that they worship me. And so the believer understands that he or she has been created to worship Allah. Our society elevates the worship of the self. Some of you have seen the BBC documentary, The Century of the Self, and the role that Sigmund Freud and his nephew Edward Bernays and others played in really elevating the individual to the highest heights in terms of the object of our pleasure. So everyone is seeking to please themselves. Everyone is seeking to assuage their ego. We would say their nafs. And this is not the orientation of a believer. Our highest objective is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if that means our discomfort, so be it. Because, and we're going to come to the point I'm making now. He has some verses in this regard. The discomfort of this world is followed by bliss that's eternal for the believers. And that bliss starts in the grave for the believer. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah. We've already broken fast here, so don't panic. Zay, what are you doing? We've broken our fast. So Allahumma salli Rasulillah. Another poet, he says, عذابه فيك عذب وبعده فيك قرب وأنت عندي كروحي بل أنت منها أحب حسبي من الحب أني لما تحب أحب. لا إله إلا الله. He said his being tortured for your sake is sweetness and his being distanced for your sake is nearness. He says in you are with me like my soul. Rather, you are even more beloved to me than my very soul. And it suffices me of love to know that anything you love, I also love. So again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defines our pleasure and our love. So something that might be physically pleasing, soothing, but if something that Allah doesn't love, then we don't love it. And if something might involve some difficulty or hardship, but is pleasing to Allah, we love it. And then our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes that thing, makes those difficulties pleasurable. Because it's a function of our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an expression of our devotion to our beloved. And so you fall in love, brother, with a sister. And your favorite color is green. And her favorite color is blue. Suddenly your favorite color becomes blue. So before you met her, they asked you, what's your favorite color, brother? And you said, green. Then 2 days after you met her, what's your favorite color, brother? Blue. I thought it was green. Green? Who said it was green? You even forgot about it. And so if that's how we respond in the world to each other, may Allah give us all tawfiq, then how should we respond to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? La ilaha illa hu. Bismillah ar-Rahim. So again, all of these verses that we've looked at so far, they're related to the phrase in the hadith, إِنْهُ تَرَكَ شَهْوَتَهُ وَتَعَامَهُ وَشَرَابَهُ مِنْ أَجْلِي. He or she, they've given up their carnal pursuit of their carnal lust, their food, their drink, for my sake. And they're dealing with the discomfort that might involve for my sake. And so these verses are enriching the commentary, the prose commentary on that particular point. La ilaha illallah. Another poet says, نسيم سبع نجد متى جئت حاملا تحيتهم فطو الحديث عن ركبي ولا تذع السر المصون فإنني أغار على ذكر الأحبتي أحبتي من صحبي. And so he said the morning breezes from Najd, when they come bearing their greetings, so the greetings of the folk and people that he loves, said, cease your speaking, literally fold up your speaking so that it's not heard by your riding companions. And do not broadcast the protected secret, for verily I am jealous. I jealously guard the secret of my beloved from those who are my companions. And so the point here is fasting. And so there's a section where Ibn Rajab, he's talking about how fasting is a secret shared between the believer and Allah. No one knows if we're fasting. Like say it's 12 noon. No one's around. No one knows if to my left. No one knows if I took a drink except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So fasting is a secret between the believer and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that, the believer loves Allah. وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Amongst the people, there are those who set up equals whom they love as they should love Allah. Those who believe are more intense in their love of Allah than their love for anything or anyone else. And so the believer loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brothers and sisters. And that love is intense. That love is real. That love is passionate. And so there are secrets between lovers. And one of the secrets between ourselves and our beloved, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the secret of fasting. And so what this poet is expressing, just how precious that secret should be. That poet is expressing how precious that secret should be. May Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq and taysir and kabul. May Allah elevate all of us. May Allah bless us to have that love in our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. La ilaha illa hu. So, Allahumma salli ala Rasulullah. So in the next couplet by another poet, so every page doesn't have any verses. Okay. So the next one, he says, "Rahimahullah wa nafa'ana Allah bihi wa bikum ajma'in." So one of the poets said, "Qad kusiya hullat al-baha'i wa tafat bi'abariqa." Well, let me read. There's a brief introduction to these verses. So Ibn Rajab relates, "Rahimahullah, qal al-musannif rahimahullah." ونفعل الله به وبكم أجمعين كان بعض الصالحين قد صام حتى انحنى من قطع صوته فمات فرؤى بعض أصحابه الصالحين في المنام فسئل عن حاله فضحك وأنشد. So it's related that there was one of the righteous people, he fasted until he bent over and then his voice stopped. And he expired, he passed away. And then some of his companions, his righteous companions, saw him in a dream, and he was asked about his state, and he laughed, and then he related. قَدْ كُسِيَ حُلَّةَ الْبَهَاءِ وَطَافَتْ بِأَبَارِيقَ حَوْلُهُ الْقُدَّامُ حَتَّى حُلِّيَ وَقِيلَ يَا قَارِئُ لَا قَالِ عُرْقَى فَلَعَمْرِي لَقَدْ بَرَاكَ الصِّيَامُ. So he said that as far as his state, that he's been adorned with garments of majesty, and there are pictures of incredible nectar and drink that are circling around him, and he's surrounded by servants, and he's adorned with jewelry. And then it said, "O reciter of the Quran, elevate, and I swear by my lifespan that you've been exhausted by fasting." So in other words, for his sacrifice in the world, his fasting with difficulty in the world, he has unimaginable bliss in paradise. Pictures of nectar moving around him, surrounded by servants, decked out and adorned in brilliant garments. And this was for the difficulty and hardship he suffered in the world. There's a principle with the ulama, it's based on hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, al-ajru biqadr al-mashaqqa, that the reward you receive for an action is commensurate to the degree of difficulty. So it's like athletics. If someone is in a diving competition and they dive into a simple dive, jump in the air and splash down into the water, If it's perfect, a perfect dive, they might get a 6 out of 10, 7 out of 10. But if someone jumps up and does 2 somersaults and a twist and then enters the water and splashes a little, so their entry into the water, their landing wasn't perfect, but they get a 9.8. Maybe a judge will give them a 10. Why? Because of the degree of difficulty. And so when you find fasting difficult, you have some aches and headaches and you're struggling and dealing with things a lot of people aren't dealing with. Understand, but it's bearable, medically bearable. You've consulted your doctor, your physician. They said it's okay for you to fast, but it's really difficult. Understand that your reward is commensurate to your difficulty. To the difficulty and struggle involved in your fasting. So this man, he literally died while fasting. So they said until he bent over, tanhana, and then his voice ceased. So maybe he was reciting Quran, famat, and then he died. And look what he had in Jannah in exchange. May Allah give us the most beautiful recompense for any difficulty that we suffer for his sake and for his worship. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. So another poet said, Rahimahullah, من يريد ملك الجنان فليدع عنه التواني وليقوم في ظلمة الليل إلى نور القرآن وليصل صوما بصوم بصوم إن هذا العيش ثاني لا إله إلا الله إنه عيش الجوار الله في دار الأمان عفوا إنما العيش جوار الله في دار الأمان لا إله إلا الله. He said the one who desires the dominion of paradise, then let him or her leave off all laxity in the world. So this world is not a vacation. This world is struggle. Ya ayyuhal insanu innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadha fa mulaqi. Oh, you human, you're toiling to reach your Lord, and surely you will reach him. So it's struggle. It's struggle. There's punctuated by celebration. It's punctuated by Eid. It's punctuated. The struggle of a day of fasting is followed by iftar. The struggle of a month of fasting is followed by Eid. But our life isn't permanent iftars. It's not permanent ayad or Eids. Our life is struggle. Our life is dealing with challenges. Our life is being patient in the face of hardship. That's the nature of this life. And as I said, yes, there are joyful moments, there are easy moments, but we brace ourselves, we steel ourselves so that we're able to deal with the hardship that life brings our way. And we know this is the price of paradise. This is the price of paradise. Paradise is surrounded by difficult things, and hell is surrounded by easy things. May Allah give us tawfiq. Says whoever desires the dominion of paradise, let him leave off all laxity in the world and procrastination and laziness in our religious and devotional actions, and let him stand up in the darkness of the light of the night to the light of the Quran. And so the night is dark, but the Quran is light. The night is dark, but the Quran is light. and the Quran will illuminate our hearts. And this is an allegory for the darkness of the world. As Ibn Atta'illah says in one of his aphorisms, Al-Kawnu kulluhu dhulma. The creation, all of it is darkness. It's illuminated by the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the light of Allah is most accessible through the words of Allah in the book of Allah. And so that light illuminates the light, the darkness of the light, of the night, just as it illuminates the darknesses that can descend upon our hearts. And let him fast day after day. So Ramadan is a fast of one day followed by the next, by the next. He says, verily, this life, or living in this life, is temporal. In the hadha al-aisha fani. Living in this life is temporal. We're just a fairly young man. Rahimahullah. Chaplain Sahib Sultan. Gone. None of us is promised tomorrow, brothers and sisters, young or old. So while we're in this world, while we are in this world, let us illuminate our hearts with the light of Quran. And the light of Quran in our hearts produces light on our faces. The light of the Quran in our hearts produces light of our face on our faces. The light of fasting in our hearts produces light on our faces. We become lights in this world, brothers and sisters. And he says, rather, the real life is in the company, in the neighbor, being in the neighborhood, in the company of Allah, in the abode of security. We're not secure in this world from what Allah might have planned for us. Nothing can ward it off. لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ لَيْسَ لَهُ دَافِعٌ. There's nothing that can ward off what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed. So let us take advantage of this time and illuminate our hearts with the Quran, illuminate our hearts with fasting, illuminate our hearts with the blessings of Ramadan that we find ourselves in. And those blessings are incredible, brothers and sisters. They are incredible. And now he's talking, he shifts to looking at the deeper meanings of the fast. So there's a fast from food or water and the carnal lust, which we referred to earlier. And then there's the fast of the arifin. Ibn Rajab is now referring to that fast. And that fast differs from the fast from physical things, because that latter fast is a spiritual fast. So one of the poets said in that regard, we'll read the verse first. He says, أَهْلُ الْخُصُوصِ مِنَ الصُّوَامِ صَوْمُهُمُ صَانُ لِسَانِ عَنِ الْبُهْتَانِ وَالْكَذِبِ وَالْعَارِفُونَ وَأَهْلُ الْأُنْسِ صَوْمُهُمُ صَانُ الْقُلُوبِ عَنِ الْأَغْيَارِ وَالْحُجُبِ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ. So he says the sound of the khawas, the elect. So their fasting is their refraining and guarding their tongue against slander and lying. So they're the khusus because they're above fasting from food and water and sex and sleep. They're the khusus. So they're fasting from indecent speech. They're fasting from lying. They're fasting from slander. Wal-arifuna, now there's a third level. So there's one level, physical. There's one level, ethical. And then there's a third level, spiritual. And that's the fast of the arifin. Wal-arifuna wa ahlul unsi sawmuhumu. So the ones who have experienced directly the reality of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, and the people of intimacy with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their fasting is guarding their hearts against anything other than Allah entering their heart, and against any veil that might veil them, that might be used by Allah to veil them from Him. I shouldn't say that could veil them. That would entail the veil is greater than Allah, that Allah might use to veil them, because only Allah can veil us from Himself. We're incapable of doing that. And anything in His creation is incapable of doing that. So their fast is protecting. So we fast, we protect al-ayn min al-nuqul ila manfadh al-maftuh. So this is what the jurists say. We protect a tangible thing from entering a readily accessible opening into our cranial or thoracic cavities. So something entering into our mouth, into our ears, our nose, had a manfadh maftuh. The fast of the Arifin wa Ahl al-Uns, is allowing anything other than Allah to enter their heart. So the ayn is physical. So, the entrance of some physically tangible thing. Whereas the spiritual things that can distract a person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those things are prevented from entering the heart of the Arifin, and that's their fast. Allahumma salli ala Rasulillah. So another poet, he says along those lines, kaburat himmatu abdin tami'at fi antarahu an taraka man yasum an mufattiratin fasiyami an siwaka. So kaburat himmatu abdin, the spiritual aspiration, drive, and desire of the servant was great. Tami'at fi antaraka. There's a longing. His himmah, his aspiration, drive, is longing to see you. So he's longing for the ru'ya. So this is a spiritual experience. Man yasum and mufattaratin. So some people they fast, as we mentioned, from those physical things that will break their fast. Fasayami an siwaka. My fast is from anything other than you. My fast is from anything other than you. So again, this is a spiritual fast. So we'll stop here and allow time for some questions. I know folks on the West Coast, you have to go prepare for iftar. May Allah give you tawfiq and taysir and kabul. We apologize for the wardrobe malfunction. And we were caught off guard by the announcement of the death of Chaplain Suhaib. So there's a question here. If the reward is commensurate to the difficulty, then should we make dua to get grant ease to someone who's encountering difficulty? Of course, we should pray for ease, because what a person, we're a third party. So what a person is dealing with in his or her relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they gladly accept what Allah gives to them. But the religion is ease. And so we don't pray for difficulty, because we might be overwhelmed by difficulty. And just as in the hadith, لَتَتَمَنَّوْ لِقَعَ الْعَدُوْ وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ وَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ فَاصْبِرُوا. So don't pray to meet any enemy, because you don't know how you might respond. You might prove a coward. You might run away. Or the enemy might come and they pillage and take your women folk into captivity and kill your children and burn your fields. So who would pray for that? Rasulullah al-Afiyah. Ask Allah for well-being. So we ask for ease, we ask for well-being. وَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمْ وَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ فَاصْبِرُوا. But if you do meet them, so if you do encounter difficulty, that's when we're patient. That's where our pleasure lies with what Allah has decreed. But it's not something we ask for. And it's not something that we pray for someone else to encounter. We ask for ease. وَاسْأَلُوا اللَّهَ الْعَافِيَةِ. We ask for well-being, ease, good health. وَإِذَا لَقِيْتُمُوهُمْ. If you do meet them, if you do encounter difficulty in your life, in your fasting, in your devotional actions, فَاصْبِرُوا. Then be patient in dealing with that difficulty and be pleased with that difficulty, knowing this is what your Lord wants for you. So it's a subtle relationship. And we should try to straddle that line. The believer is between fear and hope. So we're not overwhelmed by fear, we're not overwhelmed by hope. We strike a balance. And so this is part of the Ummatan Wasata. So we're a balanced Ummah. I hope, Brother Yusuf, that gives you some clarification. What are some special things about Ramadan that other months do not offer? Other months do not offer the opportunity for forgiveness that's found in Ramadan. Other months offer the normal, indescribable opportunities for forgiveness. But Ramadan offers special ones. So, for example, من صام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever fasts Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating a reward, their prior sins will be forgiven. That opportunity doesn't exist outside of Ramadan. Other opportunities do, but not that specific one. من قام رمضان إيمانا واحتسابا غفر له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Whoever stands for worship during the nights of Ramadan with sincere faith, anticipating a reward, their prior sins will be forgiven. Again, that opportunity is not available outside of Ramadan. من ليلة القدر خير من ألف شهر. In Ramadan, it could be throughout the year, but generally speaking, in Ramadan, or based on the dominant opinion that the night of power is in the last 10 days of Ramadan, this night does not exist, in that opinion, throughout the other nights of the year. It's in Ramadan. And so a night, the worship therein is better than the worship of 83 years. Al-Fishar, 83 years. And not just the worship of someone worshiping like us doing 83 years. If you look at the commentary on this verse in Surah Qadr, the worship of a man who put on his armor and went forth to defend the faith of 83 years. He worshiped while defending the faith for 83 years. One night in Ramadan is better than those 83 years of worship undertaken by that person, that man who went forth to defend the faith. So these opportunities, من فطر صائما في رمضان كان مغفرة له. Whoever gives the fasting person something to break their fast with in Ramadan, that's a source of forgiveness for them. You can't give someone something to break their fast with outside of Ramadan. You can, but the reward is specified for Ramadan. So those are some of the things. Alamsa Rasulillah, who asked that question? Well, anonymous, maybe Sister Sara herself. Those are some of the special things about Ramadan that other months do not offer. And there are others, but in the interest of time, we'll move on. So Chris asks, how does one balance fasting for the sake of Allah and fasting outside of Ramadan to the scientific community, not realizing the benefits of fasting? There's nothing to balance there. We just say, Yani, hikmatullah baligha. the wisdom of Allah is deep and penetrating. That's what we say, because our fast is that 16-8 fast generally that the health community, the scientific community is extolling the virtues of. So Ramadan is a continuous fast. We fast for approximately 16 hours, and then 8 hours we break our fast. Generally, if you average out the entirety of the world Muslim community. So we just say, Hikmatullahi baligha. The wisdom of Allah is penetrating. So Allah's already put us on this healthy diet plan long before science realized just how healthy it actually is. There's another question related by my sister, Sara. Waseem asks, does missing prayer break or harm? Missing prayer would not break one's fast. And if one missed it unintentionally, it wouldn't harm one's fast. If one missed the prayer intentionally, it would not only harm your fast, it would harm you spiritually, generally speaking. It would harm your deen, your religion. But Allah's mercy and Allah's forgiveness is greater than any mistake we might make other than idolatry. So may Allah protect us and protect our prayers, protect our fasting, our acts of worship, give us sincerity, and bless all of our sins to be slips and not conscious mistakes. So we might slip into misrepresenting the truth, but let us not consciously lie. And we might slip into this or that sin, but let us not consciously engage in those sins. And may Allah Ta'ala protect us and bless us during Ramadan. Another sister, Sarah Danish, asks, if fasting comes easy, is there not as great a reward? There's a great, great, great reward. But if it's difficult, then the reward for a person and the struggle is greater. Their reward might be greater, but that doesn't lessen the reward for a person whose fast is easy. There's immense reward if your fast is easy. Just generally speaking, if one's fast is difficulty, the difficulty factors into the reward as a general principle. Well, Allahu A'lam, Allah knows best concerning any particular case, but as a general rule, no. So I'm going to... How can I improve my khushu' in prayer and love for praying? Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Slow down. Now, most of us, myself including, our khushu' generally speaking, this is not universally true for everyone. Someone might not find it true and then they're mad at me. You said that. But generally speaking, most of our inattentiveness is due to speed. Like we just Allahu Akbar. Assalamu alaikum warahmatullahi. Just slow down. Make sure that you are conscious of every word you recite in your prayer, even if you have to shorten your recitation. So instead of speeding through Baqarah, just very slowly go through Ikhlas. So focus on every letter. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. You're focusing on every letter. قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد. You're focusing. سبحان رب العظيم سبحان رب العظيم سبحان رب العظيم. Just slow down, and that will help you immensely with your khushu' and your love for praying. Just keep praying, because prayer grows on you. Prayer grows on you, and so sometimes it takes time for it to have its mature impact on your heart and your soul. But just keep praying, and in time, your prayer will grow and grow and grow and grow. And so it's like a love that grows. And usually, when we love, it might be our parents. That love grows when we realize just how good, if it's a person, that person has been to us, and we stop taking them for granted. And so you'll find a couple, and they're just muddling along in their marriage. And then suddenly it just dawns on one or both of them, like, wow, man, she's been with me through the hardest times. You know, she's helped me with so many situations. And the person just starts to reflect on just exactly what, in this case, he, because I'm talking about she, means to him. And then he starts to see her in an entirely different light. And the love starts to grow. The love that might have once been there, but it became dull. And like just weak. And then, bam, the realization hit him. Like, wow, I'm blessed to have a wife like that. And the same thing with our prayer. We take our prayer for granted. Allahu Akbar, Asr time, Allahu Akbar, Maghrib time, Allahu Akbar. But over time, we start to realize, wow, number one, this prayer is, now I've prayed at least 2 years of my life. If we add up all the prayers, the five prayers, the Nawafil, Tarawih, well, that's 2 years of my life I've been protected from sin. You can't steal, rob, lie, backbite when you're praying. You might be daydreaming, but you're not backbiting. You're not lying. You're not slandering anyone. And so you start to realize, man, this prayer is protecting me. And subhanAllah, the only time I really can just get away from it all is in my prayer. Wow, this is an incredible opportunity Allah has given me. And you start to realize, like, just like that spouse you take for granted, like your parents you take for granted, then you just start to realize just how good they've been to you and how much they've given you and how much they've enriched you. And then you start to love your prayer. Just keep praying. Slow down and keep praying. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammad. And so this will have to be the last question. Well, and we can roll the questions over. Sister Sarah can hold them for the next time, inshallah. Another user asked, can you offer some advice for Muslims with mental health problems that prevent them from fasting? If you have a mental health problem that prevents you from fasting, but it doesn't rob you of your cognition, number one, thank Allah that you have food to eat. Thank Allah that you have food to eat. It's related that our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "At-ta'imu ash-shakiru fi manzilati sa'im as-sabir." The one who's eating and thanking Allah is in the same rank of the one who's fasting and patiently enduring the rigors of the fast. So you might be ta'im, but make sure you're ta'im shakir, that you're a thankful one who's thankful for the food that you have to eat. And that places you in the same degree as sa'im sabir. La ilaha illallah. This deen is so incredible. So that's number one. Number two, if your mental problem says depression, so not something that directly affects your cognition, remember Allah abundantly. Remember Allah abundantly and do a lot of dhikr. Ala bi dhikri lahi tatma'innu al-qulub. So we mentioned depression. Depression is one of those mental illnesses, and it's a mental illness. One shouldn't think, oh, I'm a weak person. No, you have an illness. And that illness, a lot of times it can be associated with anxiety. You're anxious and feel you can't control things. And that anxiety is relieved by dhikr. And of course, you should be under the care of a qualified medical professional. But You should augment that care and that treatment, that regimen with the remembrance of Allah. Ala alladhina amanu wa tatma'innu qulubuhum bi dhikrillah. Ala bi dhikrillahi tatma'innu al-qulub. Those who believe in their hearts find comfort in the remembrance of Allah. Verily, the remembrance of Allah brings comfort to the souls. So give thanks for your food. And that's like fasting. Give thanks for your food. That's like fasting. الطائم الشاكر في منزلة الصائم الصابر. So if you're eating and you're thankful for your food, you're in the same rank as one who's fasting and patiently enduring the rigors of the fast. So we'll stop here. May Allah give everyone tawfiq. So we'll see you guys tomorrow, inshallah ta'ala. May Allah bless all of you. Bless your families. May Allah ta'ala bless us during this month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us to really take advantage of this month, because we don't know if this is going to be our last Ramadan. We don't know that. So may Allah bless us to really take advantage of this incredible opportunity to do immense good for our soul. This is Imam Zaid Shakir on behalf of Zaytuna College, your Muslim college, encouraging you to take advantage of Ramadan, encouraging you to support the college with your prayers. And if you're blessed with an abundance of wealth, with some of that, but there are a lot of good causes out there. May Allah bless you, bless your families. Again, this is Imam Zaid Shakir. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.